morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Republican press conference. We're getting started in the 2014 session. It's off and going well. I would like to welcome my newly minted majority leader colleague, Senator Rave, to the fray.
Good to be here.
We started the week off very strongly with the governor's state of the state, and I think it's been received very well from both sides of the aisle. I think the tone was as it should be, positive and upbeat, emphasizing how good our economy is and the strengths we have going for us. And as I've said to several folks, you know, even the bad things and highlighting the blizzard and the impact it's had on the West River ranchers, you know, the governor appropriately saw the silver lining and that South Dakotans came together to help those ranchers, and that was good to see. So the overall message from the governor was positive and upbeat, emphasizing the good things we have going, but also noted some of the challenges we have that we need to address. And obviously we're gonna dissect his budget and some of the things he's proposing to address some of those things we need to work on as we move through the session. Likewise, the state of the judiciary addressed by the Chief Justice was upbeat and positive. I particularly appreciate from him the recap and summary of some of the successes he's seen in initiatives regarding drug courts, veterans courts, alcohol courts, probation reform, a lot of it stemming from what we passed last year in Senate Bill 70. So it was, again, an upbeat message. It was refreshing to have him come and give us an update on what has worked and the positive things that are going on in the unified judicial system. From a more personal standpoint, it was good to hear him give an update on the electronic filing system and how successful that's been, the rollout has been. I know practitioners of the law around the state are looking forward to be able to handle things electronically, and it'll certainly be more efficient and effective. So we had those two things to start off the session, along with a host of other things that the majority leader will mention here shortly. But you know, as we work our way through, as we customarily do, the top issues will be focused more on fiscal matters and funding education, providers, and state employees. So the governor's set forth his agenda and what he wants to do in those areas, and I think there's universal approval of the education funding at 3%, and I'm sure we'll have debates on that and whether there's more. But we will spend our time on those issues as we do every year on a daily and weekly basis, figuring out what we can do for education and both funding and programmatically. So I look forward to the session. It's been upbeat and positive so far, both from the governor and the Chief Justice, as well as from our colleagues across the aisle, and I anticipate that will continue.
Thank you, Representative Lust, and again, it is good to be here. First press conference as Majority Leader in the Senate, so looking forward to a great session interacting with you folks and attempting to answer any questions you guys have during the session. You know, as Representative Lust pointed out, really our focus is always the budget, and certainly some exciting things in there. The governor putting together, I think, a unique plan to free up some ongoing spending by leveraging that huge influx of one-time dollars we received from the bank franchise, the unclaimed property through the banks. And so we're excited about that. I think some other things that we should talk about are the tuition freeze for higher education students. As a parent of a student at Northern University, I personally think that was the most brilliant part of his entire budget. So I'm excited about that. VOTEC grants, trying to bring some of those facilities up to speed in their particular areas, and dual credits for the CTEs for the technical academies we have, like in Sioux Falls, to allow students to leverage those dual credits at the $40 an hour rate instead of the higher university rate. certainly other things we'll talk about this session, I think, that have been ongoing over the summer have been in the press. Common Core legislation, as I stated last night on a program, I'm excited about the package that I think has been brought forward. Probably bring some common sense solutions to some of the legitimate concerns that have been brought forward about student data mining, trying to make sure that their data, personal data, is protected as it moves up to the federal level, and that it goes only in the aggregate, so we can't have any unique identifying information. Putting kind of a pause on the whole Common Core standard progression, and make sure that what we're doing is working before we add or expand to that program. And the last piece of that three-legged stool would be a task force that would be ongoing that would kind of monitor that situation. So those bills probably will come out fairly early. I believe they're already have been filed and will be coming out soon. So be looking for that to actually probably take place maybe even as early as next week. The appropriations process, we really haven't talked a lot about, but they're doing some interesting things over there. They met actually a couple of days prior to session to try and get ahead on that program and get that process moving forward. You know, just again for our listeners, just general information, the appropriations process goes on the entire time, and there's a reason for that. We don't pass the appropriations bill the first day because we have lots of bills that come up during the rest of the session that deal with spending, and so we have to try and put that big puzzle together, and that's why it waits till the end. So that is part of the process, and look forward to working through that. Meandered lakes, it's more of a critical issue in the northeast portion of the state. We are going to try and address some of those concerns, both from the landowners and both from the wildlife folks. Senator Brown has been working diligently on a package to try and bring all of those parties together so they can come to some solution that everybody can live with, a good compromise. So with that, we certainly open it up for any questions. I think that's kind of a 50,000-foot overview of the session as we see it at this point, and certainly stand by for any questions.
Nate with South Dakota Public Broadcasting. What current legislation are you guys working on right now that people might want to know about?
Well, I guess I'll go first. I really don't have anything in the hopper as of yet. Trying to keep my plate a little clean in my first year as majority leader, I got plenty of other things to deal with. So I know some stuff will probably pop up here in the next week or two, but right now I don't really have anything that I'm dropping in at this moment. So, Representative Luss.
Yeah, similarly, I'm working on some things regarding deployed parents and custody, various unemployment insurance and other business regulation modifications and reforms. You know, as has been my history, I don't bring the home run legislation, if you will, but it's more of a steady singles and make things better progressively. So that'll continue this year. And as often the case, leadership gets approached to take on legislation as we get closer to the deadlines. And as of now that we're here, and I'm sure that that'll be no different this year.
Yeah. Next week that answer will probably be different. So.
Okay. I guess another one too. Can we just get some clarification on the task force that you had mentioned? You had said a task force to monitor Common Core. I guess could we just get some clarification on that?
Yeah, the three bills that the leader mentioned are to prohibit data mining, to not expand Common Core further. It's English and math currently, and to go no further. And then the third one is to create a task force that will evaluate and monitor the implementation and the results of Common Core. Is it delivering as it is intended to deliver? So I think that's more of a legislative oversight type function that you'll see to make sure that we're keeping our tabs on the implementation and success or lack of success of that implementation.
Would you guys support Medicaid expansion under the ACA?
Well, I guess I'll start. We talked a little bit about this last night again on South Dakota Focus, and I don't know that expansion is on the table a full expansion. I do think legitimate discussions will take place about possibly looking at waivers, really targeting those South Dakotans that can leverage it and need it the most. And for example, I used last night would be the single mom working two part-time jobs. She has two children. They're already probably on the Children's Health Insurance Plan, or CHIPS, which is an offshoot of Medicaid. And, you know, trying to find a way to get that individual some coverage, because right now she simply can't afford it. And I think most South Dakotans would go, gosh, you know, that seems like the right thing to do. Let's figure out a plan to do that now. From where we're at today, figuring out a plan that works, that actually addresses that need, those are probably two different discussions. But I think that would be in the realm that discussion would take place.
I think you'll find on the expansion issue a very thoughtful discussion on whether we should and shouldn't. And frankly, I'm of a mind that both sides have very compelling arguments. I don't think anyone can discount the argument. I'm sure you'll hear from Representative Hunhoff about the economic impact, somewhat of the moral imperative. Likewise, I don't think certainly Democrats and those who propose expansion can discount the argument that is it prudent fiscally to expand, recognizing the fiscal condition of the federal government and their ability to uphold their promises of funding. That's got to be a very legitimate concern. I think the government or the governor's has taken the appropriate response in not putting a foot firmly in either camp. He's indicated that he's not opposed to expansion, but at this time it's not prudent. And I think we need to see how this whole healthcare law rolls out. If the indication on the rollout so far is an indicator, you know, we're going to have some bumps in the road, some significant bumps, mountains more like is probably the better example. But so I think prudence is called for here. And, you know, on the moral imperative side, I think you often hear the argument that people don't have access to health care, which is, I don't believe is accurate. I mean, it's not the most efficient access, not the most cost-effective, but there is access to health care. So I think both sides tend to hyperbolize a little bit to strengthen their argument. But where we are now, and I agree with Senator Rave, the optimal resolution at this point would be some compromise that allows us to address those who are clearly in need of insurance and focusing on those folks, getting the proper data and then addressing that situation. Unfortunately, the federal government has prohibited that type of flexibility. I'm hopeful that that'll change. I know there's been a waiver given to Arkansas to do some things with private insurance. I'd like to see us given the same flexibility, because I do think we could craft a resolution that is effective and appropriate for our situation in South Dakota.
I guess I'll ask another one. I guess for both of you, what's overall your top goals that you guys hope to accomplish during this session? I know things are off and running now. Anything change, I guess, in this week's time?
Well, I think nothing has really changed. Obviously, budget focus is number one. I think trying to navigate the rest of the session, the governor has put together the budget in such a way that, you know, in the other 11 years I've been here, you know, you can kind of pick and choose or kind of approach different parts of that budget and maybe pull pieces in and out. I think if you start pulling pieces in and out of this budget, it gets a little bit, it's like a Jenga puzzle, wants to collapse. But I think navigating through that, still addressing the wants and needs of the legislators, along with what I believe is really a great budget proposal that the governor's put forward, and trying to blend those, that obviously is priority number one, and then addressing all the other issues that are kind of hanging around out there. So,
and I think our overarching goal and objective as leaders is to step back and make sure we safeguard the process. You know, each year we come and debate 600 odd bills, but as leaders, I think, you know, we need to focus our caucus's attention on making sure that common rules of civility and decorum reign, because that really is the foundation upon which all else rests. and we need to maintain the public's confidence. I think you've seen in Washington, D.C., the public lose confidence in that process. I don't get that sense that the confidence is wavering by citizens of South Dakota in what we do here in Pierre. And that is our job as leaders, to make sure that that confidence is maintained. And we do that by, again, emphasizing professionalism, civility, and just common rules of discourse. Because if things degrade into personal attacks, and whether it be partisan or not, then we risk losing that confidence, and then our job here becomes much more difficult.
Do you anticipate any conflicts along that line, since it's an election year, or it's going to go on?
Well, I think the short answer to your question is yes. I do anticipate a more heightened conflict, I guess, because of an election year. I think that's the nature of the beast. My hope is that people resist the temptation to use their position as a representative or senator to further an elective election outcome. That's not our job. Our job is not, while we're here, is not to get reelected. It's to do the people's business while we're here. And I hope, I certainly hope everyone in all four caucuses keep their eye on that objective.
Any challenges that you guys see that maybe are out of the ordinary for this upcoming session?
Well, I think, you know, Representative Lust pointed out the election year, and every election year, every time there's been an election that I've been here, certainly it provides for some interesting dynamics. I think it's probably what we don't know is going to happen yet. You know, it's the stuff that pops up that you just know something's going to pop up, you just don't know what it is, and that's why, they have us in leadership to just try and help navigate through those issues as they arise, and so that's just part of the process.
Anything else?
Okay.
I think I'm good.
We satisfied your questions? Very good.
All right. We'll
Thank
see you.
You
next week. Thank you.